What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Alrighty. So yesterday, I watched as the Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden held a news conference where he whined about the state jail inspectors by name and demanded an investigation into these two individuals who he accused of being racists. That's essentially, and liars, racist liars that are targeting him for political purposes, which is weird to me, because if you're a racist, seems like you would be targeting McFadden because he's black. But he said, no, it's because he's black that it's political or something. Look, I am not the McFadden whisperer, okay? I am not the person that is going to be able to interpret what he means when he says stuff, because when he says stuff, I am frankly perplexed, because he's not a fantastic communicator. The one thing, though, that I have learned in listening to our sheriff's statements, his delivery, reading his press releases, although I recognize he probably doesn't write them himself, but his public appearances, I've watched him in front of the county commission. I've watched him, at the news conferences. I've listened to his interviews when he comes into the studio with Brett Jensen in the evenings on occasion. Pretty regularly, actually. I always enjoy listening to those interviews, and like I always give the sheriff credit. He opens up the phone lines, and they take questions, and that's a lot for a local elected official to walk into a radio station, any radio station, even a friendly one, and to open up phones and take phone calls from listeners. That takes a lot of guts, because there's not a lot of payoff for the politician, right? There's only a couple ways those phone calls go, right? And the same goes for a host, by the way. There's only a couple ways the phone calls can go, and most of them are not great outcomes for the host, right? And even fewer outcomes are great for the politician. So I give him a lot of credit for doing that. That being said, I have noticed a pattern. I have noticed a pattern in the way he behaves when faced with criticism or any kind of actual, I mean, it's not even really criticism, questions. He's a hyper defensive kind of a guy. And he has one particular tactic that he relies on more than any other, which is deflection. He deflects whenever people come at him with some criticism or a problem, they accuse him of something or they question something under his leadership, he deflects. Sometimes he will say, oh yeah, I mean, can we get better? Yes, but, and then he proceeds to direct your attention to something else. And it is all done in service for a larger sort of strategy. The tactic of deflection is part of a larger strategy, which I call not my fault. Right, the guy is in charge of the sheriff's office. It's not a department, by the way. It's an office, elected office. He is the sheriff, and everything that when you raise these issues, it's always not my fault. And you're going to hear it in a couple of these sound bites. This tactic of deflection under this not my fault strategy, which is to insulate him from the criticisms that he has been receiving since winning the sheriff's race. What would that have been now? 6 years ago was the first time he won. So here is WCNC.com. Let's start here. Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden spoke out against North Carolina's jail inspection process yesterday, arguing that the state's review was unfair and that his office was not aware of a new standard for inspections. By the way, as far as I know, McFadden has not produced any of any documents or anything like this to show us what exactly he's talking about. He just has some stories, some anecdotes, like, oh, this happened, they visited, and I asked them this, and then they said that to me, and now I want investigation. That's all we got to go on, okay? So he says here that Mecklenburg County is being treated unfairly.
For the past several years, after I became sheriff, we recognized that the jail inspectors of North Carolina seemingly target us, scrutinize us just a little bit differently than other detention centers across the states. And myself and other sheriffs have talked about that. So over the past years, I became very concerned about the number of visits and inspections that we were receiving from North Carolina Department of Human and Health Resources and Services.
Wait, what?
During COVID, I questioned them and learned that in the middle of COVID and 2020, they changed the rules, policies, and regulations without notifying us.
No.
I simply had a conversation with them and asked them, why would they do that in the middle of COVID? And why weren't we presented the new rules and regulations? And we did not get an answer.
Now, man, that must really stink, huh? State Health and Human Services, DHHS, not being completely forthright in some of their policy changes and procedures. Mm. And then you ask questions. You're not getting a lot of answers. Would that be kind of like, I don't know, getting a concealed handgun permit from your office? Kind of like that? Maybe? Just a little bit?
That caused me and my staff to closely look at what the Department of North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services,
oh my God,
and we looked at them closely over and over again. So in 2020, I wrote a letter to Chris Woods, who is a jail inspector of North Carolina Department of Human Health Services, gotcha, and ask him to come to Charlotte, North Carolina, and speak with my county board of commissioners, the mayor, city councilman, anyone who wants to participate in this meeting to clarify our jail inspections and what they were saying that caused deaths. We never received that meeting, and they have no explanation for it.
Right. So remember, 2020, he's been in office now like a couple of years, and people are dying in the jail, right? Fights are breaking out. Guards are getting assaulted. Corrections officers are quitting, right, in droves. They're short-staffed all over the place. And then the inspector comes through and dings them for all of these problems. He says, no, I know what you're talking about. And that, there are explanations for all. He's got excuses for all of the things that the state dinged him on, okay? The media then obviously sees the report, and the decarceration crowd. Remember the ones that were protesting out in front after St. George Floyd, the summer of fiery but mostly peaceful protesting? Remember they were out there like giving advice and bail and all this stuff for different inmates? Remember that? And then McFadden went out there and like kicked them all out? I suspect this is the crowd that he's talking about, because, like, I'm not sure who else he thinks that's out to get him, because he thinks somebody's out to get him. Racisty people, I'm not sure, politically motivated people, but they are of the left, right? And he is of the left. So I don't know who else he thinks is out to get him, but he says he's seemingly targeted versus other jurisdictions, and he's not getting clarity when he's like, hey, you guys dinged us on these state reports. Why don't you come and talk to the county commission and the city council and all this? And the state's like, yeah, you know what? No. Why? And they don't tell him why. Because they don't have to, Sheriff. They don't have to. Right? They don't have to come and talk to your bosses. They're not your bosses, really, but like the county commissioners. They don't have to come talk to your county commissioners and try to explain, to get placed under the interrogation heat lamps. So to make you look better, right, to explain your deficiencies in the jail. And at the time, remember, you got jailers that are coming out and they're like, McFadden is messing this all up, right? He wanted a PR event, and the state inspectors did not want to play ball with him. That's what it seems like to me. But, you know, what do I know? Talking about Sheriff Gary, not my fault, McFadden. If I recall correctly, Mecklenburg Sheriff McFadden and the sheriff and the jail were highly regarded under former sheriffs Pendergraph and Carmichael. Right. And what was his name? Chip? Not Wilson. Remember? Do you remember the sheriff Chip? Ah, not Owens. Yeah, I forget. But he was the deputy chief under, or chief deputy, I should say, under Sheriff Jim Pendergraph. And when Pendergraph retired to go travel the country and help sheriff's offices implement the 287G program, which he had implemented successfully here, one of the first in America, and that's why he was recruited by the Bush administration to go help other sheriff's offices implement it in their locations. Did you Google him?
I didn't Google. I was editing. But is it Bailey?
Yes. Thank you. See that? Ah. Chip Bailey. Thank you. Sheriff. So then Chip Bailey became sheriff. But that was controversial at the time because they were all Democrats. And I mean, I don't even think Mecklenburg County has had a Republican sheriff, I think, ever, maybe. But Jim Pendergraph was a Democrat. And then he retired. Chip Bailey was supposed to be then appointed by the county commission. And a fellow by the name of Nick Mackey went and organized enough votes among Democrat Party members that he won. He came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who this guy was. But he had gone to nursing homes. He had gotten a whole bunch of signatures and stuff. And oh yeah, it was a scandal. And then everybody in the Democrat Party figured out a way to keep Nick Mackey from becoming sheriff, and they redid the election, and Bailey won. Mackey then ended up running for a state house seat. He got the state house seat, and then after 2 years in the legislature, he lost in a primary, if I recall correctly, and I've never heard from him again. I think I see him on TV doing commercials, though. Right? That looks like him. There's a guy on TV that looks like Nick Mackey. I think he's selling like some sort of insurance product or something. Anyway. So yes, the Mecklenburg County Sheriff and the jail were highly regarded. And then McFadden was elected. He implemented a lot of changes and department morale decreased, problems increased. But yeah, he's only receiving scrutiny because he's black. Now, look, this is what he said. This is what he suggested. Not even suggested. You'll hear the quote. I mean, you'll hear the soundbite. And I do find it ironic. In a real ironic sort of way, not in an Alanis Morissette kind of way, which, like that whole song, it's not really ironic at all. Like, none of those examples are ironic. But anyway, it is ironic that he is complaining about lack of responsiveness. Like, he, of all people, running that sheriff's office, and the delays and lack of response that he has put concealed handgun permit seekers and permit holders through over the last, 6 years or so, slow walking their permits, running them through the VA to the point where he got sued not once but twice to make him follow the law on concealed handgun permits. So I find it ironic that now he's complaining that, you know, a government agency is not entirely responsive to his demands for answers. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden has failed multiple state inspections for its jail in recent years. But not my fault. McFadden held a news conference yesterday morning to voice his complaints with the state, and he made some very strong accusations against the Department of Health and Human Services, which is what that is called, by the way. You might be confused listening to the sheriff try to name this agency that oversees this and that he has interacted with for the last 6 years, but it's DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services. State law requires every detention center to be inspected at least twice per year, with some facilities being inspected more often on an as-necessary basis. This according to Richard Devane at WCNC.com, WCNC-TV. So the sheriff, who cannot figure out why the why DHHS keeps showing up and inspecting the jail where people are dying, he's like, I don't understand why they keep showing up and we're getting targeted. Like, well, maybe it's, I don't know, all the people that are dying in your jail. That might be it. They're coming around two times a year. And then you got the people that are dying. And you got complaints that are being sent to the state. So he complains about then the media coverage of the inspection reports from the state and the deaths in the jail.
So moving forward, we all understand that the local media has always talked about our jail inspections, and they also tie them in with the deaths at our jails, or detention centers, as we love to call them.
Bah.
And so we questioned that, and we always stood firm that we are not perfect, but we welcome the inspections, but we want the inspection to be fair and above board. So during that time, my detention center staff, who I love greatly and admire greatly, took a deeper dive into these inspections.
Yeah, the ones he didn't fire.
Because local media continued to place us in a situation having the public to believe that because of our inspections and pod tours causes the death inside our detention center. Let me be clear. We receive people in poor health here at the detention center each and every day. We receive people with mental challenges here each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
People die at the hospital each and every day with an abundance of doctors and care and medical providers there.
Mm-hmm.
We simply in the custody of care and custody here at the detention center, and we do the best job that we can. During COVID, not one single person died inside our detention center from COVID.
Okay, hang on a second. What was the point of the hospital thing? Like, you do realize that people go to the hospital because they are ill. They're sick. They're dying. So I expect people to die in the hospital because they're dying. They're trying not to die, and sometimes hospitals are successful in preventing the deaths, but sometimes they are not. And sometimes people go in for routine stuff, kind of risky. I mean, all surgeries have a risk. People go into the hospital and they die. I don't understand. What is the point of that comparison anyway?
And we are proud of that. So when my staff look closely, more closely at some of these practices of North Carolina Department of Human and Health Services.
Oh my gosh.
And the inspectors, Chris Woods and Charles Brown, we found out that simply they did what they wanted to do, calculated the way that they wanted to believe it would be calculated, and came up with a formula. When we questioned that formula and talked to them, they did not have an answer. We continued to question Chris Woods on April 5th about how he calculate our jail inspections. And he did not have a clear answer for it.
How he calculate our jail inspections. What are you talking about? Dude, if you are going to get up in front of the media and accuse state inspectors of racism, political targeting, malicious unfairness or something, you got to offer some proof. You got to bring some evidence. You know, I mean, you're a former homicide. You are homicide, or you were homicide, right? That was his old TV show that he did called I Am Homicide. Evidence. Why would you not produce any evidence? And I know you know what evidence is, right? Because you kept a whole bunch of boxes of it in your office at CMPD. Sorry. Is it too soon? Too soon. Sandra, welcome to the program. Sandra, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to ask you about something. He is the administrator, head administrator of the jail system right now, and I think this came about, you just took a little of my comments away, that he was on a TV program as a detective, a homicide detective in the past. What are his credentials here in Charlotte other than serving under two Democrat sheriffs, or was one a Republican and one a Democrat? How long has he served with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police? I mean, I just wonder.
So he was a longtime detective in the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police homicide unit, and then he ran for sheriff, but he did not. He never worked in the sheriff's office. He never worked under any of the sheriffs.
Okay.
As far as I know.
And that's what I had to have get clear in my mind. So McFadden is using the racist ticket. It's the same old thing. We're going back to, and he learned a lot as being an actor on a TV program before he came here to Charlotte. And I remember him, and I thought, why in the world would they have someone like him that's not qualified? And you also know, as an administrative person, which I've done that before when I was very young, moved up the ladder, and you have to follow the paperwork. If you don't know what's going on in your own offices, how can you go out and have a news interview with people and you don't even have the facts? He needs the facts. Give us the facts. That's what I like to hear, don't you?
Yeah, I would prefer it, obviously, but I'm not sure. He's got some accusations. He may not have a lot of facts, but he's got some accusations, and those are tasty for media. Sandra, I appreciate the call. He's an administrator, and that's a different type of a role than being a homicide detective, obviously, right? Sandra is exactly right. As an administrator, you got to follow the paperwork, and that's what being in charge of the jail means. And that's what he's talking about, these pod tours or the rounds, basically. Like, you got to go, or you got to make the rounds, you got to walk around, you got to make sure, you know, check in on all of the inmates as the corrections officers, right? You walk through the pods where the inmates are housed. Oh, sorry, the residents, as he likes to call them now. They're residents, right? Because, whatever. Anyway, So you gotta make the rounds, and so they have to, like, they got like a fob system, I think, where you walk by and you press a button or you swipe a badge. So this way they know. And by the way, this kind of idea, this system, like making the rounds and flipping switches, this stuff goes back to like 100 years prior, 150 years ago, they were doing the same sort of thing. They had like these little switch systems throughout like the Biltmore estate, for example. You can go through and see the little switches. So they knew that somebody made the rounds and flipped the switch on the way past. Before electricity even existed, they were doing this. And so that's what the state comes in to look at. And, oh, you didn't swipe the thing, you didn't flip the switch. And so they ding you for that, and he's got excuses for everything. That's what this comes down to. As far as I can tell, that's what this comes down to. He doesn't like the negative PR that comes when somebody dies in the jail and then you see the state inspection report that says, oh, the rounds were not made correctly. Let's go to the phones here again. This is Tom. Welcome to the program. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
I'll tell you what's up in my mind. It seems like to me that Darryl McFadden, and I don't know him personally, never met him, is a man of great integrity. I can tell you this, he's definitely a source of inspiration to all Afro-Americans, and I hope as well as whites, to become a sheriff and have him save, solved a lot of homicide cases. And it seems like when the state or the government wants to go against certain people, and I'm going to tie Trump in there with it. It seemed like, oh, the government's wrong. Well, in this case, they can be wrong too. So I hope that Darryl McFadden will prove his case, because he said some of the people have lied on him, and I just think that from what I've observed on WBTV TV, that he seems to be a great man, and I just wish him the best and hope he'll stay sheriff as long as the people keep him in. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate the call, Tom. Just heads up, his name is Gary McFadden, not Darryl, but Gary McFadden. Sheriff, that's interesting because I have a different view. Look, he seems like a perfectly nice guy. You want to go out, have a beer with the guy and hang out, right? Next door neighbor probably would cut your grass if you were out of town, that kind of thing. It's totally fine. As an administrator of a jail, implementing policies, finding loopholes to stick it to law-abiding citizens while coddling others that are, you know, quote, residents of the facility that he oversees. Firing a bunch of people because he accused them of being too close to the previous sheriff, calling them part of a good old boy system, even though, like, for example, the first fire that he did was a black woman. But I guess she was a racist good old boy too, right? I don't know the guy personally either. And I'm glad he's a source of inspiration for you, and glad that you think that he has done such a fantastic job. There are other people that have a very, very different opinion. I am one of them. this is from Russ. The permit situation is... Oh, wait, hang on a second. Back to one other point that Tom made. I don't know, like, to Tom's point about the government targeting McFadden, okay? I don't know if that's true. It could be true. The problem is McFadden came out and made a bunch of accusations and hasn't offered us any proof of this stuff. He produced no paperwork, right? And the one story that he had was about a personal interaction he claims to have had with one of these inspectors, where the inspector admitted that he lied to McFadden. And I'm supposed to believe that McFadden's, I guess, prowess as a former homicide detective, like, broke this guy in an interrogation or something in mere moments, that he was able to extract out of this guy, okay, I lied. I'd like to hear from Mr. Brown, the state inspector, the guy who came as part of the follow-up visit. I'd like to know exactly what the formulas are that McFadden wants them to use, but the state isn't using, because the state has its own set of standards that it uses in order to do these reports. But he didn't give us any of that. He didn't say, like, this is what the state does, and this is what we would prefer they do. He didn't give us that. He just said, we want it different. In other words, he wants there to be an opportunity for him to spin the data in a way that makes him look favorable. And I know that he has a history of doing this because he did it during the last election. I saw him do it. We had the audio sound bites from the debate. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.